Today's shiur is Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Tanan Hossam. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Maisris, Hatilson, Funga Creek, Mishatitzmach. One must take Maisa from it from when it sprouts. Very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim regarding what issue is our Mishnah that the Gemara is quoting, discussing. From Rashi, it seems that our Mishnah is discussing, as we learned in the previous year, that we have to be careful not to take Maiser from produce from 1 year to the next year, Menachodosh ala Yoshin, and certainly sometimes there are different Maiserois required in different years. In the second year there would be a requirement to take Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni. In the third year there's a requirement to take Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani. So we have to know which year is this food attributed to. And Tilson, which is Funga Creek, the Mishnah is teaching us, is attributed to be considered the year it sprouts in. The Ritva learns the Gemara regarding another din that we learned in the previous year. The halach is that once a food comes to Gemar, it comes to completion, one may not eat from it until he removes the maisris, and that's the issue being discussed in the Mishnah there, according to Ritva. At what point is it considered completed and one may not eat from that food without previously taking maisris? From here also point out the Rishonim, we see that the chiv to take maisris is even from something which is only a spice. Funga Creek is generally used as a spice. Hatfu of azesim, the chiv by grain and by olives is mishiyush, from when they bring a third, at that point they're considered complete. Here too there is a machloikis what mishiyuviu shlish means. The Rabbeinu Chananel learns mishiyuviu shlish means that if we estimate that this fruit will grow to a certain size, mishiyuviu shlish means when it's a third of the size we estimate it will grow to. The Rash learns that if we don't look at the fruit itself, we look at what will be extracted from the fruit. That means by olives, for example, we look at the amount of oil we expect to extract from this olive, and when a third of the oil that we expect to extract from this olive is already in the olive, at that point we consider it shlish. Ask the Gemara, Mayim Meshetitzmach, we said by Funga Creek, the shear is from when it sprouts. What does that mean? It says the Gemara, Meshetitzmach Lizroim, when its seeds sprout. Here too, Machloikus Rishonim. Rashi says that it's considered when it forms, Mitzvah Lasrim means when the seeds form inside this Funga Creek. Tosfos learns a later shear. Tosfos learns that the seeds have formed to the degree that they're mature enough that if we would plant these seeds, they would be able to grow. That's Pshat. And in fact, Tosfos continues to teach us that there's a shear how to know it reached that point. Says Tosfos that if we drop the seeds into water, if they float on top of the water, they have not yet matured that they could grow on their own. If they sink to the bottom of the cup, that's a proof that they sprouted enough that they could grow on their own. Ritva says that this that we say is that we follow the seeds is if the purpose of planting the Funga Creek was for the seeds. So that's when we look at the seeds to determine if it sprouted or not. But if we didn't plant it to eat the seeds, rather we plant it to use the actual vegetable, then we don't look at the seeds, we look at the vegetable, the lakita, when we gather the vegetable. Hatfuva zeisim mishiviushlish. By tfuva and zeisim, the shear is when it grew a third. So as the Rishonim explain, given that we know, as we said in the previous year, that by all vegetables and by many fruits, the chiyuv of taking maisris is only midrabbanan. Certainly the rabbanan could determine at what point they have the chiyuv, because the entire chiyuv is only a chiyuv midrabbanan. However, by tefuah of azaisim, with a chiyuv of taking maisris is midoraisa, ask the Gemara at what point, how do we know that havah shlish is the shear? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Umatam Rabbi Shmed, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Miket Shev Shonim, B'moyit Shnas Shmita, B'chag HaSukkos. At the end of 7 years, Shmita, Sukkos time. So the Gemara asks that the Pasuk seems to be self-contradictory. Shnas Shmita, Mayavidite B'chag HaSukkos. If it's already Sukkos after the Shmita year, why is it still being called Shmita? Shmina's here. It's already the 8th year. It's the year after Shemitah. El Eloi Malach, the Pasuk is teaching us, called Tfuah Shaviyah Shlish B'Shviyas Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Anything that grew a third during the 7th year before Rosh Hashanah, Atanoi by Minik Shviyas B'Shminas. Even though now it's already the 8th year, and now it continued growing into the 8th year, we still have to treat it like Shemitah produce. Ask Taisus, we already learned the halacha of Taisus Shvius previously on Daf Tes, where the Gemara taught us, the Pasuk says, Becharish ubekatsa tishbais, and from there the Gemara taught us that we have to treat the produce of Shemitah with Taisus Shvius, in the year before Shemitah, and the year after Shemitah. So what is this Pasuk teaching us that we didn't learn there? So Taisha says that really we need a combination of both psukim, because the combination of both psukim teach us that not only are the Shemitah produce that goes into the 8th year osur b'schayra, that we're not allowed to do business with them, and we're supposed to burn them before the Zman Biur of the Perish Shvius, but it also comes to teach us that the produce that grew a third before Shemitah, before the, in the Shemitah year, has to be completely treated like Shemitah produce and may not be worked with even during the 8th year. Amlei Reb Zeira L'Ravasi, ask Reb Zeira L'Ravasi, V'dimalei Ayaklal. Perhaps the Pasuk is referring to produce that did not grow at all before Rosh Hashanah. And yet, Kam Rachmana, the Torah is teaching us, Tash Tishamet V'Tezel Ad Chag HaSukkos, we should extend the Shemitah year until Sukkos, and everything, even something that did not grow at all before Sukkos, before Rosh Hashanah, Shemitah, the Torah is teaching us, extends until the Sukkos of the 8th year, answers the Gemara L'Saka Daitach. T'Ksiv V'Chag HaOsif B'Tzeis HaShanah. The Pasuk says regarding Sukkos, the Chag of Sukkos B'Tzeis HaShanah, my Osif. What does the Pasuk mean, the time of gathering? Ilei Machag HaBob B'Zman HaSifa, that the Torah is describing Sukkos as the time, as the Yontif that comes in time when we gather in all the produce that was left in the field. Haksiv, the Pasuk already called Sukkos B'Osbecha, the time when we gather the produce. Elamai Osif. What does the Torah mean with the word Osif? Kotzer. It means cutting. And the Pasuk is teaching us that whatever produce is ready to be harvested by Sukkos should be considered Shemitah produce. Because if it could be harvested in Sukkos, Kimlehu L'Rabbanan, Chazal know the Kol Tfuah Niktzer B'Chag, that any produce that's harvested in Sukkos, B'Yiduah Shaviyah Shlish Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, must have been mature a third before Rosh Hashanah, the Kakarale, and the Pasuk is referring to this, B'Tzeis HaShanah. And the Pasuk is saying that these produce that grew a third in the Shemitah year, these produce should be treated like Shemitah. Anything that did not come to a third maturity before Shemitah does not have a halacha of Shemitah and should be treated as eighth year fruit. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yemiel Rabbi Azeira, V'kimluhu L'Rabbonin, Bein Shlish L'Pachs M'Shlish, could Chazal determine between a difference between a plant that reached a third and not a third? So there are two ways the Rishonim explain this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain the Gemara Simple. How could Chazal know that something grew a third? Particularly when we're talking about produce that's still attached to the ground, how could they know that this is already a third mature or not? But we're going to learn the Gemara with a different approach that the Rishonim explain. Our Gemara, from the Mishnah that we began in today's Shir, the Mishnah Masechta Maaseros, teaches us that when produce is a third mature, it's considered grown. Ask the Gemara, from where were Chazal able to know that a third of growth is considered maturity? Where did they know that from? Amalei, so Rav Zeira says to Rav Yirmiyah, Lava Minaloch, I've taught you, Le'tepach Nafshech Olavah Mehilchasa, you should never move out of the framework of Halacha. Meaning, if Chazal taught us that something is the Shir, we have to follow the Shir Chazal taught us and not ask any questions on it. And there's an interesting machloikis how to understand this. Ritva seems to learn it's not to say that Chazal Shurim are 100% infallible. Rather, what it means to say, says the Ritva, that Chazal, when they say the Shurim, follow the principle of Loiplug. If Chazal said to follow a certain Shir, we don't ask any questions, this is the Shir. That's how the Ritva explains the Gemara. The Sfas Emes takes exception with the Ritva's approach, and the Sfas Emes explains the Gemara, yes, it's part of our tradition to know that what Chazal say is the Emes, is the truth. And if Chazal said, for example, while we were learning now, and we're going to learn more examples, that the shear of maturity of produce is a third, that's what we have to accept as a fact. Call me this Chacham Kenhu, says Reb Zeira. That's the way it works with all shearim. We know the shear is, Babam So Teufel. The minimum shear of water in a mikveh, of rainwater in a mikveh, is 40 saw. The halach is, you have to have 40 saw. Babam So Chos a kartif. If it's missing a kartif, and like Teufel says, it doesn't even have to be a kartif, even if it's missing a drop of water, less than 40 saw, any yachalit bobehen. What's the difference between 40 saw and a drop less than 40 saw? Particularly as the Mefarshim explain, the halacha 40 saw is based on the size that Chazal said is the amount of water needed to cover most of one's body. But that's what Chazal said. A mikveh has to have 40 saw. Anything less than 40 saw is disqualified. Kibayim matam tumas oichlim. A amount of food the size of an egg gives off tumah by food. Here too, there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that if it's less than a kebeya, it doesn't even absorb tumah. Rashi says it absorbs tumah, it can't transmit tumah, and Tosfos says it doesn't even absorb tumah. Kebeya chas shumshum. Let's say you'll have food less the size of bay, less the size of a sesame seed. Even though it's an insignificant amount. Shloisha shloisha. A piece of material that's three tefachim and three tefachim, metame tumas medris. The halacha is that anything that a zov sits on becomes tameh. The halacha is that let's say it's 3x3, that has this right shear to be makabel tumas medris. Shloisha shloisha chosen nimer achas. If you have a piece of material that's three tefachim and three tefachim missing the size of one thread, ain't a metame tumas medris. Will no longer be metame tumas medris. Even though it's very insignificant, Chazal Shurim go that way. Hadam Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah continues to say, Lav Milsit Heida Amri. The proof that I gave till now that we follow a third is incorrect. How do we know? The boy Minei Chavraim Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana's friends, colleagues asked of him, Oymashir Krivi Yisrael B'chnisos L'Oretz. When Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they, as the Pasuk will teach us, the Gemara will quote it soon, they entered Eretz Yisrael 10 days in Nisan. The halacha is that until the second day of Pesach, Tez Zayin Nisan, one may not eat from the new crop. On Tez Zayin Nisan, on the second day of Pesach, at night, they cut new barley, and they bring a carbon omer on the second day of Pesach, and at that point they could eat from the new barley. Ask the Gemara. Omer shekriva Yisrael b'chnisasim l'aretz. The Omer that Klai Yisrael brought as a carbon when they entered at Yisrael. Mechen ekrivua. From where did they have barley to bring the carbon Omer? Im toimer the ayel b'yad nochri. If you'll say that they had barley that grew by the goyim, ask the Gemara. Sirchem Amrachmana, the Torah told us we're supposed to use the Tzira of Jews, V'loi Tzir Nochri, not something that belonged to Goyim. As Tosfos, here they came into Eretz Yisrael. We know that Eretz Yisrael is a Yerushatos Me'aviseinu. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael. So as Tosfos, even if this barley or this produce belonged to the Goyim, isn't it ours because Eretz Yisrael is ours? Answers Tosfos that even if we'll say that the karka, the land of Eretz Yisrael, belongs to us, that has no bearing on the produce that a guy planted and prepared, that certainly belongs to the guy. And in fact, the Parashas Terachim uses this teretz that Tosfos uses to answer a stira. We find that when Avram Avinu came to buy a kever, a burial plot for Sarah, he told the Bnei Ches, Ger v'toshev anoichi imochem. And Rashi says, Ger v'toshev, im tirtzu, if you want, I'll act like a ger, I'll act like a stranger, and pay full price, so to speak, for the mochem akfura for Sarah. If not Toshiv, I'll take the approach that I'm a Toshiv, that this land belongs to me, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised all of Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu. So we see that Avram Avinu considers Eretz Yisrael his. Yet as the Parashas Terachim, we find that the Pasuk says, V'yirivu roi miknei Avram im roi light, that there was a dispute between the shepherds of Avram Avinu and the shepherds of Lot, because the shepherds of Lot would take their animals to graze in fields that did not belong to them. And the Roy Mikne Avram Avinu's shepherds told them, it's improper what you're doing. So how does Rashi say the Roy Mikne Lot responded? They said that Avram Avinu at that point had no children. Lot will be his Yorish. Light will be his heir, and since light will be his heir, he has this, and the land of Eretz Yisrael was a promise to Avram Avinu, so it's not going to somebody else's property. So Rashi says, the pasuk says, "Vaknani vaprizi oz yoshev ba'aretz." The Roy Mikne Avram said, "No, the land doesn't belong to Avram Avinu; it belongs to the Knani and Prizi." So we have a contradiction. Here Rashi's teaching us that Avram Avinu considers the land his, Toshif. And here Avram Avinu considers the land not his, and that's why he's upset at the Roy Mikne Lot for going in this land. Says the Parashas Terachim that Tosfos answered the question. When the Roy Mikne Lot were grazing in other people's property, they were eating grass that the Goyim planted and grew. That doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Goy. When Avram Avinu was speaking about a burial plot, he wasn't speaking about something that grew. He was speaking about the actual karka. The actual karka, Tosfos says, Yerushalanu is ours, Mavoseinu. But the Mefarshim asked another question. Why didn't Klal Yisrael just bring along from Eivor HaYarden enough produce that they should have to use for the carbon omer? So some Rishonim want to suggest that from here we see that Eivor HaYarden perhaps is not completely considered Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the produce from Eivor HaYarden should not be used for the Omer. Others say that they needed to bring a lot of produce just to feed their families and their animals, and they couldn't bring enough also for the carbon Omer. Another teretz that the Ritva gives, and the Meiri says along the same lines, is that there's a mitzvah min hamufchar to bring produce that's fresh, produce from areas that are near the Beis HaMikdash, produce that would have been brought from Eivar Yarden, it took them a while to get from Eivar Yarden to Yerushalayim, was already dried out. It's not the preferable produce to be brought. So the Mefarshim ask, fine, it's not the preferable produce to be brought. But here we're dealing in a situation that they have no choice. So perhaps they should be allowed to bring this produce, even though it's not the best. So Mefarshim explain that since this was the first time they were bringing produce, they were bringing the Karban Omer in Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to make sure that the Karban should be brought in the most beautiful mitzvah min hamufchad fashion. Fine, perhaps you could bring produce from Eivar Yarden, but that's certainly not the mitzvah lechatchila. And now we're going to do the mitzvah. And we're going to do this mitzvah the first time. Certainly the mitzvah should be done in the best way possible with produce from Yerushalayim that's fresh. And actually, the Mefarshim say, we find this concept by Chanukah. Because the Mefarshim ask, what was the nes of Chanukah? That they only found that one pach shemen that they used, that wasn't tameh, that they used to light the menorah for 8 days. Ask the Mefarshim, we know that halach is tumah hutra b'tzibur. If there's nothing available that's tahor, we'll have to use something that's tameh. So why shouldn't they take tameh oil and we don't have to have the nes? So the answer the Pnei Yeshua gives, and the Rabbi Yosef Engel says this teretz, we know that this, the Mizbeach was in this repair while Klal Yisrael was under the control of the Yevonim. Here they were going to inaugurate and do the mitzvah again the first time. To do a mitzvah for the first time, it has to be done properly. The way to do it properly is to use Shemen Tar. Yes, Apidin, Shemen Tamei is mutter. But are we going to use Shemen Tamei to do the mitzvah the first time? Certainly inappropriate. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, that's why the Yontif of Chanukah is called Chanukah. The question is, why is it called Chanukah? It should be called Shemen. The nes was with oil. But what does Chanukah represent? Chanukah represents Chanukas. That's something I'm inaugurating. The reason we needed to have tar oil, because it was Chanukah. We were re-inaugurating the menorah. And we wanted to do it 100% right. And actually, I found this concept in another place. The Eretz Tzvi says that we know the halacha is that usually when something gets mixed together, the shear of bittel is shishim, 60 times. The exception in the halacha is by chametz. Chametz b'Pesach, the halacha is, the shear is b'mashehu. And the question is, why is chametz different than everything else in halacha? So he explains that since chametz, the issetit chametz, was the first Isser that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us from Acholos Asuris, that we're not allowed to eat something not kosher. So there was the first time Kodesh Baruch Hu was teaching us what we may or may not eat. They didn't want anything but perfect. And that's why even if it's bottle, even if it's a mashu of chametz, it's awesome. And I saw similarly that there was once a bar mitzvah where a Yisachar Ber, a Bells, attended, and the bar mitzvah bacha, like the minig is, benched, said, led the birchas, the zima by birchas amazon over a cup of wine, and the mitzvah bacha drank most of the cup of wine. So the Rebbe told him, no, you should drink the entire cup. And he explained to him, this is the first time you're being mekayim the mitzvah of birchas hamazon as a bar mitzvah bacha to bake a birchas hamazon of a kais. Don't look for any shortcuts. Do it 100% perfectly. Drink the entire cup of wine. Says the Gemara, Memaida Kriva. So we're having an issue now. Klal Yisrael is arriving in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't know from what they could use to bring the Omer. They can't use the barley of the Gomer, of the Goyim. Ask the Gemara, Memaida Kriva. Who says that they brought a carbon Omer that year? Dermalay Krivu. Perhaps they Bechlal didn't bring a carbon Pesach, carbon Omer that year. Says the Gemara, Loi Sakadaitach. Because it says in the Pasuk, the Ksiv, V'yoichlu me'avoha aretz, mimachretz ha-Pesach. They ate from the new produce on the day after Pesach. Mimachretz ha-Pesach ochel. Only after did they begin eating from the new produce, mikara la'ochel. Not before that. Why? The Kriva Omer. They first brought the carbon Omer for Hada Achli. And only afterwards they start eating from no produce. So we see that they were being careful. So our question comes back. Ask the Gemara, from what did they could bring it? Ask the Meches Chinuch. It was saying now that they were makbid that year, that they were careful that year, only to use the new produce. That means on Pesach by night, which is before Tezai Nissan, they couldn't use new produce. So what did they use for matzahs that year? So, the Yishalmi, the Michas Chinuch quotes Yishalmi, and he says two answers. One answer the Yishalmi gives is that they brought the tefuah that they were going to use that year for matzahs from Goyim. And interestingly, the Shem Tzion Balocha says, from here we see that they weren't makpid on Shmira Mishas Tzira. They weren't careful that the flour that they used for the matzahs should be flour that was watched from when it's cut, because they bought just flour from the Goyim. Another teretz that the Yerushalmi gives, es doichalois say. There's a chiv say teat matzahs. It's doicha the lois say of eating new grain. Ask the Meches Chinuch on the Yerushalmi. When we say the klal, the rule of Esei Doicha Loisa Sei, we only use it in a very limited fashion. That means, yes, there's an Esei to eat a Kazayis Matzah, it's Doicha the Loisa Sei of eating Chodosh. But I would only be allowed to eat exactly Kazayis. If I eat less than a Kazayis, I haven't done a mitzvah, so I can't say Esei Doicha Loisa Sei. If I eat more than a Kazayis, I had no right to eat more than a kazayis. Because to be mekayim the mitzvah, I only have to eat a kazayis. Ask the Meches Chinuch that we have a rule throughout Shas that if shalatzamtzim, we can never be sure, we can never be exact. So how can we have allowed them to eat the matzah? Because of Esed Doichalosa say, we might not have been mekayim the mitzvah. If we ate less than a kazayis, we didn't do the mitzvah. If we ate more than a kazayis, we ate too much. So the Meches Chinuch answers, from here we see the same a concept that's a very famous concept in halacha. The Torah wasn't given to malachim. The Torah expects us to do what we can. Eat, even though you may be eating a little more than kazayis, the Torah only expects us to do what we can. That's Meches Chinuch. The Stipler, however, says a different answer. The Stipler says, when a person has to eat a kazayis, he has to eat a kazayis of matzah, and he eats a little more. Why is he eating a little more? He's eating a little more than a kazayis because he wants to make sure that he's been mekayim the mitzvah. Says the Stipler, the amount that he ate more than a kazayis is considered like a hechsher mitzvah. It's like considered an act that's a preparation for the mitzvah. It's part of doing the mitzvah. In order for me to be mekayim mitzvah achilas matzah properly, I have to eat more than a kazayis. Given that that's the case, says the Stipler, that's not considered that I ate matzah. I ate chodosh for no reason. Because eating more than the kazayis is part of the kiyum hamitzvah. So the question is, meheichan ekrivu, from where did they have barley to bring the carbon oimer that year? Amalem, so responded, kol shalviya shlush b'yad nokri. The shear that we've been discussing, that it did not reach a third of the growth by Goyim, and therefore, if they bought this barley from the Goyim before it grew a third, it's considered barley that grew by the Jews and is acceptable. V'dilma ayo v'loikim lehu. Ask the Gemara, perhaps it already grew a third. They just weren't able to identify if it grew a third or not. Elakim lehu. What must we say? That Chazal knew to make the determination if it's a third or not. Hachanami, we go back to what we learned earlier. Chazal were able to determine that anything that grew one third before Rosh Hashanah, that will be harvested in Sukkot. Answer Kivega, how can we compare the two situations? They were talking about barley that we have in our hand, and we could identify if this barley is third grown or not. Here, in our Gemara that we began this year, is we're talking about produce connected to the ground. Perhaps there, Chazal have no way of determining if it's a third grown. So the Sfasemis answers, and this is the way we explain the question of the Gemara from the beginning of the year. The point of the Gemara is not to determine, can we measure, is it a third groan or not? The point of the Gemara is, how do we know that a third is the number that represents maturity of the produce? And the Gemara is saying, just like over there, since they bought the produce before it was a third grown, and it was therefore considered not the produce of Nachrim, here too, Chazal are able to tell us that if it's less than a third grown, it's not considered the produce of Nachrim. Ask the Gemara, V'dimalai ayaklal, perhaps the case of the oimer that they brought was from barley that had not ripened at all. Avhaichadayel river, perhaps if it ripens a quarter, Ben shlish lepachsim shlish lekimlehu. Where do Chazal know that a third is the number? Maybe only when it doesn't, when it's not at all ripened. That's when Chazal could tell us it's not considered produce at all yet. But how do they know that a third is the number? Says the Gemara leisakadaitich. It's difficult to understand, and it's difficult to explain that it didn't ripen at all. The ksib, because as we said before, the pasuk says, "Va'am olam and ayardim asul chaydish." Klal Yisrael came out from the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan. V'isakadata d'loyayel klal, if you can explain that the barley they bought from the Goyim was not ripened at all, the question is, b'chamishi yomim mikamalya, can barley ripen in 5 days? Elamai, what are you going to say, says the Gemara, dial river adanka, that was ripened a quarter or a sixth. Is the question again, akata b'chamishi yomim mikamalya, can something ripen in 5 days that it's only a quarter or a sixth mature and be completely ready in 5 days? Elmai is lachlameima. What do you have to say? Eretzvik seba. The pasuk in Daniel describing Eretz Yisrael calls it Eretzvi. So as the Gemara Masechta Ksuba says, simple pshat in that pasuk means that it's the land tzvi that everybody wants, that everybody covets. But the Gemara explains it that Eretzvi, that it ripens its produce very quickly, like a tzvi runs quickly. Hachanami eret tzvi ksiba. So the grain that they used for the oimer that year ripened very quickly and ripened in 5 days. And that's why we have no raya, we have no proof from that story at all, because they brought perhaps barley from the goyim that wasn't ripened at all, and it got ripe in 5 days and then was usable for the carbon oimer. As Tosfos, that we're explaining in our Gemara that tvua that's cut, that's harvested on Sukkot, must have grown a third before Rosh Hashanah. So we see that it takes over 2 weeks from a third growth to completion. Yet here we see it only took 5 days. So answers Tosfos that here we're speaking about barley, and the Gemara that we were speaking before about was wheat. Barley perhaps ripens quicker than wheat. Furthermore, explains Tosfos, that the pasuk in describing the barley to be used for carbon oimer calls it karmel, rach. It's still moist. So perhaps this tvua, which is still moist, ripens in 5 days. But regular grain takes longer, as we said at the beginning of the shiur. Maskula Rav Chanina asked Rav Chanina, how could you explain that we're going to use the pasuk of Chag Asif, which we have to retreat back to say is the pasuk that teaches us that anything that grows a third is considered mature? For Ksiv, the pasuk says, Ba'aspecha migaron chamikvecha, Sukkos is the yontif, we gather from the threshing floor and the wine vat. The Gemara Masechta Sukkos explains that. The pasuk is teaching us that what should be used for the schach, the straw that's found on the threshing floor and the leftover pieces of the grapes, that's the perfect schach. So how can we say that the pasuk is coming to teach us anything regarding when something is ripe? Omrav Zera, have milsav biyodin. We thought we had a source how we know that something grows a third is considered mature from the pasuk by Sukkos. V'as Rav Chanina shad ben Narga. Rav Chanina came and threw an axe into it, and this pasuk can no longer serve as the source for this din. Kiritanya, Elamanolan, ask the Gemara, from where do we know that when something grows a third, the halacha considers it a mature? Considers it mature? Tanya, Rav Yonasan ben Yosef Omer. The pasuk says, for us as a tefuah l'sholosh hashanim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a bracha that in the Shemitah year, we're not allowed to plant, that what we have growing the sixth year will last for 3 years. The sixth year, seventh year, and eighth year. Atikri l'sholosh, don't say that the pasuk should be counted the third, el l'shlish. The pasuk is teaching us that anything that grew a third is considered finished. Ask the Gemara Rabbi Leila Legufay, how could we use this pasuk to teach us this din, that something that grew a third is considered complete? We need the pasuk to teach us the bracha that we just described. Answers the Gemara, Ksiv Krachrina, there's already another pasuk that teaches us this bracha. Because the pasuk says, V'zirat Mashana Ashminis, V'chaltam Natfuah Yoshin Atshana Atshiyis. You plant in the eighth year and you lead it till the ninth year. What's the pasuk saying? That since we couldn't plant in the seventh year, we're only going to resume planting in the eighth year, and it takes time to grow. So what will we eat until the ninth year, where the plants that were planted in the eighth year will come to growth? We'll eat what was planted in the sixth year. So we already know the bracha that Kadosh Baruch Hu will give to the Shomrei Shviyas, that what they planted in the sixth year will last 6, 7, and 8. So from this pasuk of Zrat Mashana Shminis and pasuk of Shalosh is coming to teach us that something that grew a third is considered mature in the eyes of halacha. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas, Hayur is rice, Vadoichem millet, Haprogim, Papi, Vashumshim and sesame, Sheshvishu lefnei Rosh Hashanah, if they took root before Rosh Hashanah, Misasrin l'sha'over, they considered produce that grew in the previous year. Umetarim b'shvius, and if the year after they took root is a Shemitah year, they're not considered produce that grew in the Shemitah year. Mimlav, but if they did not take root until after Rosh Hashanah, and now this year that it took root in is a Shemitah year, Asurim b'shvius, they'll have the din of Shemitah and they'll be also to be eaten. Umisasrin l'shana abo, and if it's not a Shemitah year and it has to be, we take Meiser, so it has the din of Meiser of the year after Rosh Hashanah, not the year before this Rosh Hashanah. Omer Rabba, Omer Rabbanan, the Rabbanan teaches us, Ilan Basachanata. When do we consider the fruit grown, the fruit tree grow? When the fruit emerges, chanota. This is machloikus v'shoinim, what chanota means. Rashi learns that chanota means that there's like a blossom, there's like a little flower that grows on top of the fruit. When that falls off, that's called chanota. The Meiri explains when it starts to blossom, when blossom come on the tree, that's called chanota. Tfuv v'zeisim, we follow Basel Shlish. We go after when they grow a third of their size. Yerek, we go Basel Kita when it's picked. And as we mentioned in the previous year, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, what does Basel Kita mean? Some Rishonim mean when they're, explain when they're actually picked. And other Rishonim, the Rambam learns when it's prepared to be picked, even if they were not picked yet. Ask the Gemara, so the Mishnah began describing different produce that we followed the Hashrasha, Hani Kaman Shavinu Rabbanan, like whom did Chazal treat these produce? They're all kidneys. To whom did they equate them? None of the items that we just described do we follow Hashrasha. Hadam Rava, so Rava then said, V'tach Shesuyin Prochim Prochim, since they crumbled a few at a time. So as Rashi explains, that they are harvested a few at a time, rather all at once. We harvest them and take the beans out of their pod. Asli Brana Basash Rasha. So Chazal said we should follow the time to take root, because it's hard to keep track what was picked this year and what was picked next year. That means really we should follow the Zman of Lakita, like by vegetables, but Chazal were concerned that we may get confused and mix this year's produce with next year's produce. That's why they said we should follow the time of Ashrasha. Ask Tosfos, we can understand that regarding Meiser, which the entire obligation to take Meiser from Kipnius, as we explained, is only with Rabbanan. So Chazal have the right to say that we want that the shear should be Hashrasha. But we're also speaking about Shemitah. And the chiv of Shemitah on Kitnius is a chiv d'oraisa. So if the midoraisa, the shir is Lakita, how could Chazal change a chiv d'oraisa? So Tosfos answers that we're referring to Shemitah b'zman hazeh, Shemitah nowadays, which the chiv Shemitah now is the Rabbonon, and therefore the Rabbonon have a right to make this determination. The Ritva has a different approach. The Ritva says that although certainly the chiv of Shemitah, even on Kitnius, is a chiv d'oraisa, the Torah gave the right to determine when something should be considered grown, at what year it's considered grown. The Torah gave that over to Chazal to determine. And since the Torah gave that over to Chazal, Chazal had the right, even on something which is d'oraisa, to say we should follow Hashrasha. Omle Abaya, so Abaya asks, why do we not follow the time that they picked? I were concerned that we're going to get mixed together last year's Kitnius with this year's Kitnius. Why don't we mix them all together and then take off Meiser from this mixture? The Nimtza Torah min HaChadosh HaBoy al HaChadosh HaBoy will take off, we assume, proportionally the proper amount of Meiser from this year's Kitnius on this year's Kitnius. Now we'll take off the right proportion. Miloi Tanya, have we not learned? Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippa, Mishum Rishim Shizuri, Pola Mitzri Shizor Lazara, if somebody planted Egyptian bean for its seeds, Mitzasa Hishrish Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, part of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, or Mitzasa Hishrish Lach Rosh Hashanah, and part of the produce took root after Rosh Hashanah, ain't Taimrim Umasrim Izalze. We can't take Truma Meiser from these two different piles, because one is last year's and one is this year, and Allah is l'fish ein tamim masrim loy menach chadash lo yoshon. We can't take from new crop on the old crop, v'loy menach yoshon al chadash, not from the old crop on the new crop. Keitzur oisa, what should he do? Tzoy v'garna l'taychei, he should take the entire pile, all of the produce, and put it together, and then v'nimtza tayrim masim the shabai al chadash shabai or me yashin shabai al yashin shabai, and then we'll take off proportionally correctly. So why do we have to make a new shear of Ashrasha the time it takes root? Why can't we just make this mixture and take it off with the proper proportion? Amle Rav Shimon Sezuri Amrit, you're asking from Shimon Sezuri. Rav Shimon Sezuri Sava Yeshpila. Rav Shimon Sezuri holds that items can be mixed properly, and therefore, since we can feel, he feels that it's properly mixed, when we'll take off the mice, we'll take it off in the right proportion. However, Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold Ein Bila, that items are not properly blended, and therefore we cannot be sure that we're going to be taking off the maaseris in the proper proportion, and therefore this is not a legitimate eitzah, a legitimate option to follow. That's why, according to Rabbanan, there was no other option other than Chazal should say that the shear should be that we go basa hashrasha. The Rishonim point out that even according to Rav Shimon Shizuri, who will discuss his shita more in Mitzvah in the next year, but even according to Rav Shimon Shizuri, we don't always follow this concept that we should mix it together and assume that we will take it off in the proper proportion. Many Mefarshim, the Tori Evan, says that this is only by Meiser on Kitnius, we just said, is Drabonin. So since the entire Chiv is only with Drabonin, that's where Rav Shimon Shizuri will allow us to follow such an option. But where the chiv is d'oraisa, Rav Shimon Shizuri would not agree to just mixing them together. Furthermore, the Sfas Emes says that the only time Rav Shimon Shizuri would allow this approach to be taken is where the taruvis, where they were all mixed together before there was a chiv to take trumas and maestras. So then we could say that they could be, we could assume they were taken off proportionally, properly. But if Let's say there was already Gemar Peri, that the fruit or the produce in question, the beans in question, were completely processed, and we have this question, and we want to rely on Rav Shimon Shizuri to blend them together and assume that we will take off the right proportion. Even Rav Shimon Shizuri will agree that we did not use the concept of Bila, of blending, to such a great extent.